and welcome to another episode of Banking on Information. Today, my guest is Jacqueline Escobar, who is principal member of the Divergent Tide and a legal consultant. Welcome to the podcast, Jacqueline.
Hi, thank you so much, Roger, for having me.
We always start this podcast with the same question, which is, why do you do what you do?
Okay, this is a long answer, but I promise it would make sense. My why starts at my childhood. I named the hyperinflation in Peru. My family was shocked by bankruptcy, corruption, injustice. And I developed a feeling sense of justice for it. I chose law as a career. I wanted to help entrepreneurs, but regular ones, not the fancy ideas, because I saw my father in them, you know, a person with great ideas, big dreams, ambitions, but with a system that limits that dreams, with no education, low access to finance, bureaucracies, high interest rates, in the case of the banking system. And that's what I was really interested on wealth creation. I did everything to get into the financial industry. I worked for regulators, banking, law firms, specialized in this matter. And soon I realized that all these intermediaries, all these traditional actors, they perpetuate all the differences that we have in society, always prioritizing those with big pockets, accredited investors, financial institutions, against or leaving aside the end consumer or the retail investor. But for me, financial services were a tool to access to money. With money, you need, like, you know, buy a home, your education, everything in this modern society is exchanged by money. So for me, my mission was, okay, I want to contribute to facilitate the access to this tool. That's what I want for when I found fintech and blockchain. It was love at first sight. I found in Bitcoin, for example, that philosophy that I was looking for, forgetting about the intermediary, thinking that we can take decisions as a community, you know, low rates, broader access, financial inclusion. Everything really was fulfilling. I just left traditional work. I started to work with entrepreneurs, with startups, advising them with what I know, you know, like the legal side. But I soon realized that, you know, all that hard work, because I collected like everything, like scholarship, achievements. I got involved in conferences. I wrote papers. I did speaking engagements as well. But then there was this personal battle that I had inside, always striving, always struggling, because I didn't know I had ADHD. So to be a good student, to be an A-grade student, what society asked you to be a successful person, to be on time, to be organized. As a lawyer, you have to be like perfect with your opinions, with your writing. And I always struggled. I always force myself as a soldier, pushing every time. Just, you can do this, because I have a personal motivation, which is, you know, supporting my family, going ahead a crisis. And I was really passionate about, you know, justice. So I was motivated, but I was forgetting about myself, my personal life, my family. I was just like a Kiyosaki, right? With this book, the wrong path. And then you just realize when you have all these achievements and you just feel like, okay, there is something missing. I remember I watched an entrepreneur talking about the same. He made millions and the same. You don't find sense. And this is the burning out situation, right? Where you just start looking for answers, which is what I did. I started my self-awareness path. You know, meditation, reading about manifestation, your inner power. And what the wisdom that I have now is that money is only a tool. But there is a step before your inner power that you can manifest. You can create that dream, that big idea, that interesting, innovative thing that can contribute in changing the world in some way. But you first have to have this position of calm, of confidence, this balance in your life to just do things in a way that fulfills you every day in the process. So for me, it's like, okay, now it's not about money only. It's about our inner power to find that dream that we want to make true. So now it's like, okay, how I do? Okay, I'm a lawyer. So I know how to advise startups and how I do this, right? Because I know this is the masterpiece most of we are looking for. And suddenly, just after I got my diagnosis, so I struggled all my life with no meds. It was only myself pushing me every time, and everything made sense. And I got this invitation to collaborate with Divergent Thai, and I go, hey, this is really perfect for me, you know, because I will find leaders or people who wants to lead something, to contribute to justice or something good to the society, but they need tools for it, and I am here for them. So this is my vibe that I can share with you. Yeah.
That is a very, very interesting story. So you want to use your skills as a lawyer to help the common man, the common entrepreneur, but also help people that have something similar to you that might have ADHD, and actually help those people, because you for so long didn't realize that was your diagnosis, right?
Yeah. And actually, I want to highlight that it's not only for neurodivergent, neurotypicals can burn out as well. Maybe we have like an allergy. Maybe we are easier to burn out, you know, but this is a society problem. And I think that's a perfect starting point for this type of people, but it's for everyone at the end.
No, absolutely. So if that's your why, what do you do? What do you do to help people?
This project just launched. We have a cohort of founders from, you know, great university, great ideas, AI, blockchain, you can name it. The founders, you know, they want to create a safe space for them. Try to find, this is your rhythm. This is your energy. This is the way you think. And we will make you feel proud of it. Because you can work like 18 hours in one day because you are feel so motivated, and sometimes you don't feel that energy. This is a safe space. You are just different. You have different cables. Some book says you are like a Ferrari working like a bicycle. So we want to give you the tools, the environment to just take what is within you. And there are, you know, normal techniques for the productivity tools. But I want to add this special part that I was sharing, your meditation tools, knowing yourself, all your motivations, working on your inner child, analyzing what you feel this is urgent, you're observing yourself, and just work from there. This is, first, you have to accept who you are now and play like a kid. And you have everything that accelerators might offer you, like, you know, funding, operations, legal, but this special part, you know, which is person-centered. It's not a additional requirement for, okay, you are a good founder if you give the best pitch, if you are great at talking, And even forgetting the ones who are behind, you know, computers, and they just really have great ideas. We need to cover this gap. And I really feel excited about this.
Yeah, no, that is very powerful. Because yes, usually accelerators are very much focused on, hey, what's your business model? What is your totally addressable market? But they don't think about the founder behind it and how they best work. How do they talk about it, the people that are part of this, these founders?
We don't have success stories yet, like, because we just started. But we do have, you know, you have these particular cases that they were not accepted to Y Combinator, or they chose, they found out that, for example, San Francisco is so hard competitive, or you have all this mental noise. It's so reasonable to see how they will succeed at the end, because no one else was thinking about how to cover those missing parts. I didn't publish this yet, but I was reading about studies that says that founders, 50% of them, they have ADHD or autism or something. Because, right. Yeah, you have to be a bit special to really take risks, think different. It's like you just have to fit in the mold. So I did all the steps. And when I was there, I was like, okay, this is not what I thought I would feel.
So I like to do this thing called futures thinking. Let's think of a possible future. So 10 years out, where do you think this program will be? And what do you hope for 10 years from now?
I envision that this conversation is normal, that mm-hmm. you know, mental health is part of a corporation, like part of the cap tables, part of how you can show you are sustainable, not just taking care of Earth, but ourselves, because we are Earth. And it's finding this balance, because you have artificial intelligence with all advanced technologies. We can cut more workers, we can reduce jobs, or we can really make sustainable positions. So from my point of view, I want to help that technology contributes to this, to redefine these invisible rules that we have. So I come from Peru, from South America. There is a prophecy that says there will be the time that the condor is from the Andes, from South America, and the eagle from North America will fly together. The eagle represents the brain, the action, this capacity to build, you know, these projects. But condor represents the intuition, the calm, the connection with Earth. So there will be the time that we will fly together, and we can still work in great projects, but this position of abundance and joy, it will be different.
Especially with AI, there should be a way that we can focus more on our mental health and not burn out by working so extremely hard. And it'd be nice to see the eagle and the condor go together. How can we get ready today for that possible future that you painted?
Just spread the word, educate, because people, they don't know. They just live in a bubble, just doing what they think they have to do, as I did. And you just start to ask questions to yourself. And now with AI, it's so easier to talk with ChatGPT, with the AI you choose, and just ask about everything. I think the information about this will be so well known that this will be normal. But now, in, you know, these coming years, it's just education. And that's what I want to contribute.
Yeah. So educate yourself about AI and how it can change the world for the better, hopefully, and to get us to that future that you painted. So maybe that's a good point to wrap this up on. Thank you very much, Jacqueline, for being on the podcast.
Thank you very much.
And until next time, choose to be curious.
Thank you.